Good afternoon. You are listening to WMRWLP, broadcasting out of Warren, Vermont, at 94.5 FM on your dial and streaming live at WMRW.org. The following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, RootsWork. Good afternoon, everyone. How's it going out there? This is Amy, and it is time for Amy's Kids Show. And I am so excited today for episode number 184, because today is a very special day. Today we have one of our favorite kinds of creatures on the planet, a human, a live human here in the station today. We have Dr. Rob Williams at the microphone. How are you doing today, Dr. Rob?
Hey, I'm so good. This is so fun. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
So good to be with you.
Yes, yes. I am so excited to have you on Amy's Kids Show. We're going to have so much fun talking about your favorite things, Rob.
Oh, my gosh.
What are some of your favorite things?
Well, breathing, yaks, breathing, nature, breathing.
Fantastic.
The beauty of this place in Vermont, kids, little humans. Yes.
They're
emerging
so...
humans.
Emerging humans.
Yes.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, the kids are our link to the next generation of team humans, so it's important that we pay them some mind.
Yes.
I would say.
Definitely. And heart.
And heart.
And voice, which today and every day on Amy's Kids Show, that's what we celebrate. Freedom and abundance.
Amazing.
And little people.
Amazing.
Young people.
Yes. We're in flow with the little people.
We are.
I love that. Well, it's so nice to be with you. And we are long overdue, Amy, for this conversation.
Yes, I believe so. Definitely. This has been coming for a long time.
I know.
I can't believe we haven't done this before, but it's perfect. It is the perfect timing, I believe, right now.
The number 184, it has to be some kind of episode 184. It's got to be some kind of mystical number, I'm sure.
Yes, the numbers always line up with whatever we're learning about. And you're going to appreciate that the listeners of Amy's Kids Show have been learning about breathing.
Yes.
American history.
Excellent.
Animals and healthy eating.
Oh, my gosh.
All the things that you
love.
Lots
of my other favorite topics.
I know.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. How are we going to fit it all in?
Well, we're going to do our best. We're going to drop into flow is what we're going to do.
Yes.
Yes, like a river.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing.
Wow. So, guys, listening out there, find a comfortable place to just relax, or maybe where you can dance. We always like to do some dancing on Amy's Kids Show. So we've got a couple of really great yak songs that I'm sure Rob is going to enjoy, and I'm sure you guys are going to enjoy, and maybe the yaks are listening.
I think the yaks are listening.
Yeah, I bet you left the radio on back at home.
Absolutely.
In the barn.
Yes.
So call your yaks for us, Rob.
Here they come.
Yes. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
Where the cold winds blow, there's a shaggy creature with a coat like snow. It's the mighty yak, strong and grand, stomping its hooves on the highland sand. The mighty yak on the mountain tracks, with a big woolly coat covering its back, grazing on the grass in the cool crisp air. That big grand yak with so much hair. Horns that curve and a nose that steams, the yak lives where the sunlight gleams, carrying loads up paths so steep in the quiet mountains where the snow cap peaks. The mighty yak on the mountain tracks, with a big woolly coat covering its back, grazing on the grass in the cool crisp air. That big grand yak with so much hair. Cheese, they give us treats in the Himalayas where the mountains meet. Living together, yaks are never alone. High in the hills, they make their home. The mighty yak on the mountain tracks, with a big woolly coat covering its back, grazing on the grass in the cool
with so much hair.
Covering its back, grazing on the grass in the cool, crisp air. That big grand yak with so much hair.
So wild and free, it climbs up mountains high and tall. A friendly yak will never fall. Yak, yak, what a sight, walking through the snow so bright. Yak, yak, big and proud, up in the clouds, way up in the clouds. Yak eats grass and loves the breeze, living life with such great ease. With horns that curve, it's full of cheer. Yaks are cool, let's give a cheer. Yak, yak, what a sight, walking through the snow so bright. Yak, yak, big and proud, up in the clouds, way up in the clouds. The yak eats grass and loves the breeze, living life with such great ease. With horns that curve, it's full of cheer. Yaks are cool, let's give a cheer. Yak, yak, what a sight, walking through the snow so bright. Yak, yak, big and proud, up in the clouds, way up in the clouds. Yak, yak, what a sight, walking through the snow so bright. Yak, yak, big and proud, up in the clouds, way up in the clouds.
All right, folks. We are in the studio here with Dr. Rob. Thanks for joining us today.
Amy, it's so great to be with you. And those songs are amazing. They capture so beautifully the power, the uniqueness of this crazy creature that is the yak.
The yak?
Yes.
Yes. So first, let's start with you, Dr. Rob,
okay,
if you don't mind.
Of course.
What kind of doctor are you? I was curious.
So I am not a doctor of medicine, thankfully. I am a doctor of thought. So I have a PhD in environmental history. So for you kids, that means I went to university as a student for many, many years, and I had the privilege and the opportunity to do a lot of reading of books and articles and a lot of conversating with lots of other humans and animals as well, and a lot of research into many of my favorite topics, which you've already mentioned,
yes,
including animals like the yak.
The yak. Yeah. So you're a doctor of thinking, basically.
Yes, and feeling, I would say.
What a cool job.
It's a great job, yeah. You know this, Amy, we tend to, and kids, this is something to think about, we tend to get kind of trapped sometimes in thinking. We kind of get trapped in our heads. And kids are so good. The young humans, all of you out there, you're so good at being playful and having fun and leading from the heart and reminding us older humans how important all of that is.
Yeah, to stay in the flow.
Stay in the flow, to be playful.
Playful.
Yes, and not to get trapped in our head, but to sort of be in our feelings and our heart space.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah, that is one of the best things about kids.
Yeah.
Right? They're not worried about what other people think usually,
no,
not until they usually get to like middle school, you know? And
yes,
they just go out there and play, and they swing because they like to swing.
Yes.
And they slide because they like to slide.
Yeah, and you kids, you're very present. You're not always thinking about what used to happen yesterday or what's going to happen tomorrow. You're just in flow.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the present moment. And that's something that all of us could practice, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. So partly why I invited you on the show was that you really appreciate children. And I knew you would love to spend some time with us here on Amy's Kids Show. You're a doctor of thought, I just learned. And you're our neighbor and you have a family, too. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. So my wife and I have lived here in the Mad River Valley for more than 20 years, and we built a little home, and we raised two little humans here.
Humans?
Yes, our two kids. Our daughter Annika is now 26 years old. Is that possible? And our son Theron is now 23, and so they're adult humans now. But they did grow up around yaks here in Mad River Valley for many years. I have some fun yak stories about them. And they both live in Salt Lake City, Utah now, and are making their way in the world as adult humans. And that has been so fun to see our kids become adults. And I'd like to think, I think this is true, I think they would agree, that they both of our kids retain that same sense of playfulness and fun and humor. They both work very hard too, but our son has a very famous saying in our home. When we ask him, hey, Theron, what are you going to do today? He's like, I'll see where the day takes me. And that's like the ultimate definition of flow.
That is.
I'm just going to see where the day takes me.
Yes. It's an adventure every time.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
So that's a bit about us. And of course, we did have a yak farm here in Mad River Valley for many, many years. Steadfast Farm, we called it. The Vermont Yak Company. And we brought the very first herd of yaks to Vermont from a state far, far away called Minnesota, about 1,000 miles west of here. And we brought that herd of 24 yaks to Vermont. And then over 7 years, we and the yaks together grew that yak herd to just over 50 animals.
50 yaks in your yard.
Hairy, humpy, and horny. 50 of them. Yes, on the farm, which is down the road. From us. For those of you kids who are listening locally, you all know where Dave Hartshorn's farm is. Everyone knows where Farmer Dave is.
Farmer Dave
and Farmer Amy. And the yaks lived on the hill above Farmer Dave and Farmer Amy's farm. In fact, Farmer Dave and Farmer Amy were involved with our yak operation. They were we were all partners together.
So people who live around here might have seen your yaks up on the hill.
Oh, yes, for many years.
So what do they look like?
Well, so they have yaks have three unique features, I would say. Number one, they are, like the song said, they are hairy. Mm-hmm. So for cows, and yaks are cows, they are, to be fancy about it, bovines, right? And they do make this crazy grunting noise. Like that. They're called Bos Grunyans, the grunting bovine, the grunting cow.
Oh, wow.
Because they make this crazy grunting sound.
They're named after their grunting
sound. They're named
sound.
After their grunting sound. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So yaks, number one, they're hairy because they live, they are the highest living land mammal kids in the world.
In the world.
Yes, they live in the highest mountains in the world, which I'm guessing some of our young listeners know, are the Himalaya Mountains, the Himalayas, where Mount Everest is. The locals there call it Sagarmatha, Mount Everest. And the yaks live way up in near Mount Everest in the Himalayas. I call it Planet Yak because it's a very hard place to get to if you are a human, and it's very challenging to live there as a human. Of course, humans do it, and they do it beautifully. But like the yak, they have to put on the hair. They have to dress warmly in all of their winter gear half the year, and they have to get used to breathing and living way up high at altitude where the air is thinner than it is down here in Vermont at sea level. So yaks are hairy. Yaks have an amazing hump on their backs. And the bigger a yak gets, the bigger the hump gets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's a very unusual feature for cows. It's not quite like a camel's hump, So kids, you know what a camel's hump looks like, but it is a pronounced hump on the back of the yak. And then third, I like to say that yaks are horny. They've got these beautiful curved horns that come off of their heads and they have a very distinctive shape. Hmm. And you can recognize a yak by the shape of that yak's horns. It's one of the features that makes a yak unique, because every yak has a unique set of shaped horns. So when you look at a yak herd, a bunch of yaks from far away, you can sometimes pick out individual yaks based on their horn shape.
Oh, great. So
isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
And what do they use their horns for?
Oh, well, let's see. Some fun stories. So they use their horns for pinning other yaks. A yak at our farm once pinned our daughter Annika to a barn door, gently but firmly.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pin another creature with your horns. Like, you can scoop another creature with your horns. Our son Theron, when he was 6 years old, made the mistake, kids never do this, of turning his back on a yak.
Don't turn your back on
a yak. And that yak just snuck right up behind him and scooped him up with the yak horns and pitched him over her back.
Oh, wow. Replaced.
He did a somersault. I saw the whole thing. I turned around. I was like, oh, boy. Fortunately, he landed on his bum, and he was okay. A little shaken, but nothing broken, nothing wounded. Yaks, of course, the yak bulls will often spar with one another, meaning they'll clash their horns together, which is a fearsome sight. If you can imagine two 1,500-pound animals locking horns together and jostling and wrestling. And I've even seen a yak bull flip an entire other yak bull over its body.
Wow.
With its horns. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And kids, not that you want to be on YouTube, but you can find this on the interwebs. If you search yak flipping yak,
yes,
you'll see videos.
Yes.
They're amazing.
Yes.
Doing this. So hairy and humpy and horny, and then the grunting sound. So those are the four things that make yaks yaks,
uh-huh.
I would say.
So where did you first meet yaks?
So I first met my very first yak outside of a zoo in a place called Montana.
Hmm.
I have family out in Montana who raise sheep. And in Montana, they have predators like wolves and coyotes that come out of the mountains in Montana, and they like to eat your wayward sheep, right? This happens all over the world. And so yaks are fiercely protective. And so our family with the sheep kept a couple of yaks in the sheep herd, in the flock, to protect the sheep from the wolves and the coyotes that would come down to try and eat them. And you, when you're around a yak, you will see and feel that a yak is very spirited, it's very energetic, it's very powerful, and it's very courageous.
Mm.
All qualities we might do well to emulate. So when the sheep were threatened by these predators, these wolves and these coyotes, the yaks would stand their ground together and protect the sheep from those wolves and those coyotes. And it turns out one of the yaks had just been retired, quote unquote, for meat, as all animals on farms are sooner or later. So we had a chance to try some yak beef, and we ate the yak beef, and our kids tried the yak beef, and we all just fell in love with the flavor.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a beautiful flavored meat. For you kids out there who like to eat burgers, you like to eat beef, the yak is it has a little sweetness to it because they eat the grass rather than grain. So it's very delicious, and it's very nutritious.
Ooh.
It's very high in protein, the yak meat. It's very low in fat. It's very high in what we call omega-3s, essential fatty acids. So when you eat yak beef, you are eating what I call the planet's greenest red meat.
Mm.
Yes. So if you've never sampled yak beef, be on the lookout. There are places around Vermont where you can maybe run into the yak and run into yak beef. And there are dozens and dozens of yak farms and ranches all over the United States. So when you're out there traveling, kids, be on the lookout.
Right. And you've been traveling too, right?
Yes,
meeting these
I
other yak farmers?
Yes. I've been working on a book about yaks. I've been writing a book. And kids, you should learn that when you fall into a subject you're really interested in and you want to learn more about it, you can simply decide that you're going to research and maybe write about or tell a story about that particular topic you're interested in. I'm really interested in yaks. So I've been working on a book now for, gosh, probably 8 years. It was 2016 when I decided I was going to take on writing a book about yaks. And when you take on writing a book about any subject, that gives you an excuse, not that you need one, it gives you an excuse to travel, to talk to other people, to be around animals, if that's what you're writing about, like yaks, and just be in flow with them and observe and talk with them and listen to them, most importantly, because they will tell you things. Every animal has a story. And yaks will tell you things about what's going on in their lives. And they'll make it very clear when they communicate with you how that's all going.
Yaks like to yak in their own way.
They really do. They really do. Yeah. Yeah. I even brought, and I don't know when the right time is, but I brought my favorite yak book for kids called The Littlest Yak.
Yes, let's read that
now.
Can
we jump in?
Yes, let's jump in. Awesome, guys. Here we go. Story time.
Yes, this is The Littlest Yak. And whenever a new human is born in my universe, with friends and family all over the world, I always make a point of sending, as a welcome gift, welcoming this little human to the world, I send this book, The Littlest Yak, because, well, you'll see. It's in the story. So here is the story of Gertie, the littlest yak. If you're not already sitting down, lying down, get comfortable. Here we go. The Littlest Yak. On the tip of the top of a mountain all snowy, where the ice swirling, toe-curling blizzards were blowy, in a herd full of huddling yaks, big and small, lived Gertie, the littlest yak of them all. And for those of you who don't have the book, all of our yaks in the story are wearing scarves and blankets and hats.
They live where it's very cold.
They do. Now, Gertie was great at being a yak with the curliest, whirliest wool on her back. She could clip-clop up cliffs, no matter how slippy, on little yak hooves that were splendidly grippy. Yes, Gertie was all that a small yak should be. But there isn't, she sighed, any bigness in me. I'm the yak at the back who is stuck in her smallness. I want to grow up and have greatness and tallness, with the hugest of hooves and humongous horns, too. There isn't a thing that a big yak can't do.
I know that feeling.
But yaks, Mummy smiled, are all shapes and sizes, and bigness can come in all sorts of disguises. Maybe one day you'll be huge, you'll be tall. So don't rush to grow up when it's great being small. Yet, as night tiptoed in and the stars filled the sky, from the heart of the herd, Gertie sighed a huge sigh. Hugeness and tallness seem so far away. I don't want to be small. I need bigness today. So.
I want it now.
Yes, Gertie began on a growing up plan and ate every veggie a little yak can. She pattered up mountains, she clattered down hills, she hopped and she skipped, and she never sat still. And she read lots of books to make her thoughts grow, because grown-ups have big things to think and to know.
That's great.
And though Gertie hoped and she wished and she tried, the days slipped away, but no growing arrived. What if, she sniffed, I'm a yak who can't grow? And a salty tear plopped from her cheek to the snow. But wait, what was that? Something was coming. 100 yak hoofbeats were steadily drumming, and leading the herd in a snowflakey flurry was Mummy Yak grunting, "Oh, Gertie, please hurry. Look up. A yak stuck on the craggy cliff's edge at the end of the narrowest, rockiest ledge. Our hooves are too heavy. Our horns are too wide to squeeze on a ledge on a steep mountainside. But you are our littlest, grippiest yak. Only you, Gertie, can squeeze up there and bring that yak back. You need me?" Gertie gasped. "Because I'm so small? My smallness can do something big after all." And Gertie was off. There was no time to waste. Over the ice-frosted rocks, in great haste, up higher and higher, leaping and springing, then onto the ledge where a yak shape was clinging. "Oh!" Gertie squealed as she stopped in her tracks. "Why, you're the tiniest, weeniest, teeniest of yaks." "I wanted to clip-clop up cliffs," the yak shivered, "but I'm not very grippy," and his teeny horns quivered. "Well, gripping," smiled Gertie, "is what I do best. Just hold on tightly, and I'll do the rest." So, onto her back, the teeniest yak leapt, and down through the rocks and the ice, Gertie swept home to the herd, far below, cheering loudly. "Gertie, you did it!" They all grunted proudly. "The teeniest yak would be stuck without you. There are some things that only a small yak can do." Yeah. Then Gertie was wrapped in a warm woolly hug, and into her ear Mummy whispered with love, "As sure as the stars in the glittering sky, you'll be all grown up in the blink of an eye. But it's here and it's now, whilst you're wonderfully small, that you found you've got bigness inside, after all." And as Gertie gazed up at the moon's silver light, "Being small," the little yak smiled, "is all right. For I'm just the right size that a Gertie should be. I am perfectly little and perfectly me." And that is the story of the littlest yak.
Yay! Oh, wow! We love that kind of story on Amy's Kids Show. Absolutely.
I thought you might. And it is truly one of my favorite kids' stories. There's so many good kids' stories out there. But this might be the best yak story of them all anyway.
Yes. Definitely. And isn't... you are perfect just the way you are, and the world needs you just
yes.
the way you are.
Yes.
It's so true.
Yes.
And you
yes.
too, Dr. Rob.
Well, thank you, Amy. I would say the same about you. And it's so fun to be in flow with you here.
Yes. Well, speaking of flow, I've got a couple of more yak
yes,
songs.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Let's do that.
And yes, this next song is about riding on your mommy yak.
Excellent. Perfect. Perfect segue.
I like riding on the back, riding on the back of a mommy yak. I like riding on the back, riding on the back of a mommy yak. Mommy yaks and daddy yaks and babies, following each other one by one. I like riding on the back, riding on the back of a mommy yak. I like riding on the back, riding on the back of a mommy yak. I like riding on the back, riding on the back of a mommy yak.
Hike with my yak.
Yak, 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 yak.
Hiking up the mountain with my yak.
What will you pack on your yak? What will you pack on your yak? Water, tent, sweater, and a snack. That's what I'll pack on my yak.
Yak, 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 yak.
I like to hike with my yak.
Yak, 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 yak.
Hiking up the mountain with my yak.
Everybody knows what a nose is. Everybody knows what a nose is.
Have you ever seen a nose? Well, let me describe it. It's right on your face. It's not very private. It's pretty sensitive. I wouldn't high-five it. You can make it honk, but you can't drive it. A nose is for smelling, but I got to be fair. A nose can do a lot of things. A nose can grow hair. A nose is important. It needs special care. If a nose gets runny, it might need repair.
Everybody knows what a nose is.
Everybody knows what a nose is.
Everybody knows what a nose is.
Everybody knows. I know. Do you know? There are noses in the roses. It's Stephen and Kevin. They hang out in the roses cause it smells like heaven. Sometimes they sniff, sometimes they wrinkle. They wrinkle when they get a sniff of something with a stink. Oh!
Everybody knows what a nose is.
Everybody knows what a nose is.
Everybody knows what a nose is.
Everybody knows. I know. Do you know? Now it's about time we take a little pause. Take a moment to admire your schnoz. I like doing that. I think it's because noses are cool. They deserve some applause. Is yours big, small? Is it shaped like a ball? Is it pointy, stubby? Is it clean or grubby? Does it provide shade for a family of crickets? I'd like to see that. I'd buy tickets.
Everybody knows what a nose is.
Everybody knows what a nose is.
Everybody knows. I know.
Do you know?
All right, folks. So we are celebrating all kinds of things here with Dr. Rob. We're celebrating yaks and small yaks and big yaks and their special talents. And we're celebrating noses, too. Surprise, everyone.
I'm looking at Gertie's nose in the book we just read, the story, and she's got a great nose.
She does have a great nose.
Yeah, yeah. Noses are so important.
Yes. Noses are great, and they're right there in the middle of our face. Can everybody out there listening, can you see your nose? It's kind of tricky to actually see it unless you look in a mirror.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we forget about them, because we can't really see them.
Yeah, you can gently kind of like massage your nose.
Oh, yeah. Give it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we often, as we get older, we often take really important body parts like our nose for granted, but our nose is so, so important.
Yeah, so what are noses all about, Dr. Rob?
Well, yeah, noses are your nose, our nose, my nose, everyone's nose is our body's most important breathing organ. Like, we should all be breathing in and out through our nose. So, kids, you might just ask yourself right now in this moment, notice your breathing. Take a moment. Feel the breath coming in and out of your body and ask yourself, wait a minute, am I breathing in and out through my nose? Or maybe I'm breathing in and out through my mouth. Mouths are good for two things. Eating.
They're great for
that. Mouths are good for eating, yes. Three things. Speaking and kissing. like giving your mom or pop a bus on the cheek. Mouths are not good for breathing most of the time. But so many humans, especially as we get older, so many humans are breathing in and out through their mouths when they should be breathing in and out through their noses. Because the nose, when we breathe in and out through our nose, Amy, it's so much better in so many ways for our mind, for our body, and for our energy level.
Let's break that down, Dr. Rob.
Well, before we do that, should we do a couple of breathing exercises? This is fun.
Sure.
So, kids, if you're feeling like your nose is a little stuffy right now, you know, we are getting into the winter season, so that sometimes happens. There's a very simple way to unclog your nose naturally, just like nature intends, just like we humans were built to unclog our nose. So this is how we unclog our nose. You ready?
Ready.
It's very simple. So make yourself comfortable. You can do this standing or sitting down or lying down. Doesn't matter, but seated or standing is probably best. And then just go ahead and get your pinching fingers ready, because we're gonna lightly pinch our nose in a few moments. And just follow the sound of my voice now, and let's see if we can unclog our noses. And even if your nose isn't clogged, this is a fun little exercise to try. So take a nice, steady breath in through your nose. Go ahead. And then take a nice, steady breath out of your nose. Go ahead. And if your nose is clogged, do your best, maybe nose and mouth. Let's even get some air in through your nose. And then a second breath in through your nose. Go ahead. Second breath out. Now third breath in. And third breath out. Now at the bottom of that last third breath out, pinch your nose. Gently close your nostrils with your thumb and your forefinger. And now waggle your head all around. Waggle, waggle, waggle. Like wave it back and forth and up and down and side to side. And keep waggling. Waggle, waggle, waggle. And keep waggling your head with your pinched nose as long as you can. And then when you feel like you can waggle no more, you need to take a breath in. Go ahead and release your nose. Take a breath in and out. Amy, how'd that go for you?
That went great. I definitely felt like I needed a breath in.
Yes. Know? But my nose feels a little bit less clogged. Maybe let's do one more together. Should we try one more?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. So here we go. Let's try a second one. So take a nice breath in through your nose. Nice deep breath out through your nose. Second breath, nice deep in through the nose. Nice deep breath out. All right, last deep breath in. Last deep breath out. And now pinch and hold the nose and waggle back and forth, wiggling your head side to side, up and down. Waggle, 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 waggle. Keeping that breath paused on the exhale, up and down, up and down, and up and down, until you can waggle no more, and then go ahead and release your nose. Take a nice deep in, a nice deep out. Isn't that amazing?
I like the waggling. That was fun.
That's a waggling, yeah. Yeah, and so we can get science-y, kids, for a minute. So what you're doing when you pinch your nose close like that and hold your breath and waggle is you're actually making a magic molecule in just above the bridge of your nose in what's called your sinal cavity. You're making a magic molecule called nitric oxide. And nitric oxide opens up your nasal path, opens up your nose to breathe better. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
And the other amazing thing is that science didn't even discover nitric oxide until recently, just a few years ago. And there's so much we don't know about this magic molecule, this magic gas that we generate in the bridge of our nose when we breathe in and out through our nose. Now, when we breathe through our mouth, we get no nitric oxide being made in our bodies. And nitric oxide is magic. It's magic. The other magic thing about nitric oxide, kids, is that nitric oxide helps protect our bodies from bacteria, from pollutants, from dirt and dust and any dis-ease that might enter our body when we breathe. When we breathe through our nose, nitric oxide helps kill, I'll use that word, all of those germs and diseases.
Yeah, it sort of catches them, wraps them up in boogers
and
sends them back out.
Dispenses with them.
Yes.
Yeah. And when we breathe through our mouth, none of that happens.
Oh.
So we could ask everybody out there listening, guess how many breaths a human takes in a single day? How many breaths? How many inhales? How many exhales? Guess how many?
Hmm.
How many do you think, Amy? What would you guess?
Oh, wow.
I know, it's hard.
Thousands, right?
Thousands of breaths per day, yeah. Want to narrow it down? Take a stab?
Say 2,000.
That is a good guess. Multiply that number by 10. 20,000 breaths.
20,000
breaths. Every single day. Isn't that amazing? We take 20,000 breaths, and every one of those breaths is a chance to maybe notice how we're breathing in this moment, and maybe breathe a little better. Starting with closing our mouth and breathing in and out through our nose.
And you just taught us one way to kind of clear our nose a little bit.
Yeah, it's the fastest way to unblock your nose. And so as we go into winter, remember this little trick. Scientists sometimes like to call this a biohack. I like to think of it as a trick. It's a magic trick. Yeah, to open up your nose and breathe in and out better. And it will remind you to keep your mouth closed also.
Mm.
Do you want to learn another trick?
Yes.
Okay. So this is fun. We call this the humming breath. So this actually will make even more of that magic gas, that magic molecule, nitric oxide. So let's breathe in together through our nose, mouth closed, breathing in together. Through our nose. And now when you exhale, when you breathe out through your nose, try a little hum. It sounds like this. Yes. Let's try it again. And this time, kids, try this. Take your hands and cup them around your ears, and you're making a little music chamber with your skull, with your head. And then this time, try humming with your hands cupped around your ears and notice what happens. It's really cool. Let's try it again. We'll breathe in through the nose. Cup our hands around our ears, and let's exhale and hum. Isn't that cool?
Wow.
We can make our whole skull reverberate, like vibrate.
Yeah.
So now we can learn another breathing technique. We'll amplify the vibration. So that was a hum. Let's try a buzz. We call this bee breath. Bee breathing. Breathe like a bee.
All right.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
So first, we'll just do it without our hands over our ears. Let's take a nice deep inhale through the nose. Go ahead. And now this time on your exhale, make the sound of a buzzing bee. Zzz, and see how long you can flow as a bee on the exhale. Zzz, nice. You see how much longer you can exhale too.
Yes.
When you buzz like a bee. Isn't that cool?
That is
cool.
All
right. Now this time we'll do another bee breath, but this time let's put our hands back over our ears and make that little sound studio. Here we go. Breathing in. And now buzzing with our hands cupped over our ears. Go ahead. And if you want to take another breath in and do it again, I'm still going on the exhale. You can have a little contest with your friends, see how long you can exhale on the bee buzzing breath. Isn't that fun?
That is great.
Yeah, and I love that feeling in the skull of the vibration.
Yeah.
That's so cool. The other thing we're doing, for those of you out there listening who might feel sometimes a little anxious, a little nervous for whatever reason, when you make your exhale, your breathing out, when you make that longer than breathing in, you're able actually to relax your entire body and your entire mind. When you make your exhale, your out breath, we call it, longer than your in breath. Sciencey thing, when you breathe out, you're able to move, kids, your entire nervous system into a more relaxed place. So cool. The scientists call that the parasympathetic nervous system, or rest and digest nervous system. But you can just call it the relax nervous system, or just relaxing. So let's maybe notice this. Maybe close your eyes. Here's another exercise. And this time we'll breathe in through the nose. Go ahead. And now when you breathe out through the nose, see if you can just extend that breath and notice how you might be able to relax your mind and your bodies. Maybe focus on your shoulders. Here we go. We'll one more breath in. And now as we exhale, we breathe out. See if you can just sink your shoulders down and relax. Here we go. Go ahead. Let's try it again. Breathe in and breathe out and relax. And maybe one more. Breathe in and breathe out. Very good. Amy, how's that feel?
That feels fantastic.
Good.
That is great.
Yeah, we call that the relaxed breath. You just make your exhale longer than your inhale. That's all. That's all.
Fantastic.
Isn't that cool?
Yes, and practice makes perfect, right?
Yes.
So we forget that we have to practice some of these
things. Yes, we can practice. This is a really good thing to do when you're trying to fall asleep and you're having maybe a little trouble. Just make those exhales long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what else. Let's do a little, should we do a little lion's breath?
Yeah.
A little lion's breath. So this actually is, it's okay to breathe through your mouth as long as, kids, you're aware and paying attention that you're breathing through your mouth. Most of us breathe through our mouth without knowing, without paying attention, without being conscious, being aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes all kinds of problems. But when we breathe out through our mouth consciously, as if we mean to, and we're paying attention to the breath, we can do some, create some magic. So this is called lion's breath. And we're going to breathe in through our nose together. And then when you breathe out, make the sound of a lion roaring in a whisper.
Mm.
We'll try it a few times and you can play with this. It's really fun. So let's go ahead and we'll meet at the bottom of our exhale. 3, 2, 1. And now take a nice deep breath in. And now lion's breath out sounds like this. Yeah. Let's do it again, maybe a little growl this time. Okay. Breathing in. You can growl at the end. Isn't that fun?
That is fun.
One more. Here we go. Breathing in. Here we go. Lion's breath. Nice. And here's another one while we're doing this. This is called ocean breath. And this time, some of you, if you're a Star Wars fan, my kids like to call this Darth Vader breathing. We're going to do the same thing, but this time, instead of imagining a lion, imagine a wave, the sound of the ocean. ocean breath. So let's breathe in together. Here we go. Breathing in. And now make the sound of the ocean.
That's like what I've heard inside of a conch shell.
Yes,
before.
When you hold a conch shell up to your ear, that's the sound you hear. Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
Now this time, let's do ocean breath, but again, let's cover our ears again. We'll have that, create that sound studio in our head. Here we go, breathing in. Now ocean breath, ears covered with your hands. Go ahead.
Wow.
One more. Here we go. Ocean breath. Nice.
Fantastical. Woo!
Yeah, I've got a couple more.
Mm-hmm.
If we have time.
Yeah, we have about a minute, and then we have just a couple of songs.
Okay, let's do something we haven't done before. All right, kids, take your take both of your hands and place them over your belly, your stomach, maybe one hand on either side of your belly button. And this time, when you take a nice deep breath in through your nose, see if you can push your belly out on your two hands. We call this belly breathing. So go ahead and take a nice deep breath in through the nose and see if you can push your belly out. Go ahead. Feel that belly push. And now when you breathe out, feel your belly relax. Yeah, and you can even guide your belly with your hands a little. Breathing in, belly pushes out. Yeah, breathing out. Belly relaxes. One more. Breathing in. And breathing out. Nice. And what you're feeling below your hands is your body's most powerful breathing muscle. It's called the diaphragm. The diaphragm. And like your nose is your most important breathing organ, your diaphragm is your body's most important breathing muscle.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you just do a practice, a little belly breathing, 5 or 10 minutes a day, just like we did with your hands on your belly, you can make your diaphragm stronger.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it will improve your breathing.
Yes. Yes, folks. Definitely. Mm. Wow. Everything we practice, we get better at.
Right? Yes. Yes. And it doesn't take much time. And everyone, you should teach this to your brothers and sisters, to your parents. Everybody can stand to practice a little better breathing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm practicing all the time.
Me too. Me too. I love practicing before I go to sleep, when I wake up. Yeah. And times of the day when I'm feeling a little anxious. Yeah, it feels nice just to put our hands on our bodies and know that we have this superpower that is our breath.
It is a superpower.
It's a superpower.
I love this magic. Superpowers. Exercise.
Yes.
We've got all the best things here today.
And you can drop into flow like the yak.
Yeah, like the yak. So is that how you're supposed to say the yak? That's how yakkers say.
Yes, that's how my Asian friends in Mongolia and Nepal and Tibet, those high mountain places where the yaks live, they have such a beautiful way of saying that word. They have words in their own language for yak, but they like to say yak. Yeah. We like in America, we say yak. It's a yak, but they say yuck.
Yak.
And I love the way they say
the
that.
Ka, yak.
The yuck. The yuck.
Yuck.
Yeah, the yuck. They say, Rob, we shall go find the yuck. And I say, yes, let's go. In Mongolian, we say, yawi to the yuck, which means let's go find the yuck.
Yawi to the yuck.
And if we want to go fast, we say, hortan yawi to the yuck.
Ah.
Let's go very fast to the yuck.
Oh, yes.
Hortan yawi yuck.
And they love the people too, the yaks.
They do.
Yes.
They do. Yes. They find humans very, very interesting. The yak do.
Yeah.
They're very curious about us.
They like us.
Yeah. Yeah. And they know, they sense when we are curious about them.
Ah.
And then they want to have a little conversation. They want to have a little yak together.
Nice.
Little yak fest.
Oh, well, thank you for coming in today and sharing your stories.
Yes, of course.
Traveling the world, making friends with yaks and all kinds of other creatures.
So fun. And there's so many good kids' books about yaks. So be on the lookout, everybody. The Littlest Yak is just one. Mm-hmm. The Story of Gertie is just one of many good stories about yaks.
And who wrote that one again?
This is Lou Fraser and Kate Hindley are the authors and illustrators of The Littlest Yak. And there are two other books in this series.
I love series.
Featuring Gertie.
Oh, because I want to see Gertie again.
Yes.
Yeah. She's cool.
So maybe when I come back next time, I'll bring the second one.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. All right, folks. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Amy.
And Dr. Rob today for Amy's Kids Show. We've got just a couple of songs. Well, one quick song here to take us out, and we'll be right back for the closing. Thanks for joining us.
I am fresh as a dew, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. I am blooming as a flower.
Well, folks, we did it. We came to the end of episode number 184, and we had one of our favorite neighbors and humans here in the studio, Dr. Rob. Thank you for joining us.
Amy, thank you so much for having me, and I can't wait to do it again.
Yes, we got to celebrate. I know, we only just began our celebration.
I know.
Of yaks.
I know.
And noses and the schnoz.
Yes,
that's my favorite.
Yes, the schnoz. Well, stay in flow, everybody. Stay in flow.
Yes, and keep breathing, keep practicing those breaths. Yes, and where can folks learn more about you, Rob?
Oh, yes, I do have a website. It's called Dr. spelled out robwilliams.com, and I keep there all of my various stories about yaks and about breathing and about cold plunging and about Team Human and about freedom and choice and all of the things that we believe in. And I do have my book there, my yak book, Life by the Horns, in field notes with really cool pictures of yaks from all over the world. So Dr. Rob Williams, go find the book Life by the Horns. It's near the top of the blog and you can read it for free and enjoy it for yourself.
Wonderful. Sharing it for free with everybody.
Of course.
I love it.
Yes.
And a doctor of thinking.
Yes. And feeling.
And feeling. Right. Right. Those two go right together, don't they?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. So, folks listening out there, you can have a grown-up help you get on that internet and find more of Dr. Rob and pictures of the yaks and do some research about yaks yourself.
And I love how you're saying yaks now, Amy.
I'm practicing.
Yuck. You got it.
I got it.
You got it. Yes, the yaks will be pleased.
Oh, good. Yes. I want to learn their language, the grunting and everything. Yes. Can you do that sound again? That was...
Here they come.
Oh, wow. Yes, that's what they do when they come?
Yes, yaks and flow. Yes. We say yalla, yalla yaks, let's go.
Yalla, yalla yaks.
Yes, we speak to the yaks in Arabic sometimes. Yalla, yalla. And that means let's go, yaks, let's go.
Let's
if we're
go,
not yaks. Saying hokhtan yawi. Or zum zum in Nepali means let's go very fast. Zum zum yaks.
Zum zum yaks.
Zum zum.
I can remember that.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Zum zum hokhtan yawi, yalla. Yuck.
Yucks. Oh, wow. We've been celebrating yucks today here on Amy's Kids Show. So, folks, if you want to find previous episodes of Amy's Kids Show, we've been learning about respiration and American history and all kinds of subjects that Dr. Rob loves and I love and celebrating kids and everything else. You can go with a grown-up on the internet to amyvt.com and you can find previous episodes. Yes, we'll have to have you back, Dr. Rob.
I can't wait, Amy.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in here, folks. Remember, kids listening, you're the greatest.
Yak to the future, we go.
Where the cold winds blow, there's a shaggy creature with a coat like snow. It's the mighty yak, strong and grand, stomping its hooves in the highland sand. The mighty yak on the mountain tracks, with a big woolly coat covering its back, grazing on the grass in the cool crisp air. That big grand yak with so much hair. Curve and a nose that steams, the yak lives where the sunlight gleams, carrying loads up paths so steep in the quiet mountains where the snow cap peaks. The mighty yak on the mountain tracks, with a big woolly coat covering its back, grazing on the grass in the cool crisp air. That big grand yak.
Good afternoon, folks. You are listening to WMRW-LP, broadcasting out of Warren, Vermont at 94.5 FM and streaming live at WMRW.org. It is 3 o'clock and we're moving on to the 5-8 show. Thanks for joining me.